from the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona. This is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. Senior artillery test leader Ernest Ballard first came to YPG's gunner's shop in uniform in 1993. Inducted into the Honorable Order of St. Barbara in 2011, across more than three decades, he has helped Army artillery advance dramatically as both soldier and civilian tester. What was your reaction when you first got orders to Yuma Proving Ground?
Well, we were in formation and they were passing out orders to everybody, and I looked at my orders and I pronounced it Yuma. I'd never heard of it. And the guy that was on my left, he looked at my orders and he said, "Oh, dude, there ain't nothing out there. It's all desert." And he told me I was up the road. You're not gonna like it. And I would have cried, but I was surrounded by men. And I was only 19, you know, 20 years old. So I was still a kid. And I thought I would get stationed in North Carolina or, you know, close to family. And to get stationed all the way over here in Arizona, I didn't like it.
But over the course of the next 31 years, it must have grown on you a little bit.
It did, but you know the cool part is I'm very fortunate that I've been in a position to be able to travel when I wanted to. So it's never really been overwhelming because I can always go visit family or do something cool to get that break.
The changes that you've seen in artillery in your time here are absolutely incredible.
It is. You know, when I first got here, they had a thing that they were pushing. It was called AFAS, Advanced Field Artillery. They said one day all the artillery is going to talk together, and then all of the different branches will be able to talk together and communicate. And I was thinking, ain't no way. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. No way that's going to work. Because I was used to seeing the technology that we had, not understanding how far in the future, you know, leadership looks. So it's been a wild ride to see a lot of the things that's come through that we've tested, some successful, some not so successful, but yeah, it's been a lot of stuff come very, very far.
So M777, the Crusader, Future Combat Systems, non-line of sight cannon.
Yeah, the Crusader, I worked on that for a very, very long time, and that was actually an impressive weapon if you got to see it operate. It's one of the only weapons I've ever seen 10 rounds in the sky at the same time. The Enlos was kind of close to it, but it wasn't as good. The 777 tested it from XM777 to the time it's now fielded. And I remember the first time some reps that we were working with got word that we engaged the enemy with the 777, and they were so excited, and I was like, wow, you know, I've been on that thing all of these years, and to get it to this point, and now it's helping us in combat.
When you got out of uniform as an E5 and stayed here as a civilian, was part of it because you still get a sense of satisfaction that you're helping the guys in uniform?
Absolutely, absolutely. The transition was actually flawless for me. I got out on a Thursday, and I came to work for EC3 the Monday. I worked for EC3 for a year and a half, quit with them on a Thursday, and was civil service on a Monday. Same wall locker, all of these years, same everything.
And there's a lot of safety mitigations that have to go into testing what's inherently a dangerous weapon.
Yes, the safety is huge because you're not only looking at the safety of the actual weapon, you have safety concerning the ammunition. You know, and some of the ammunition that we fire is environmentally stressed, so they put it through this rigorous testing to see what it does. And once it's done with them, then we get it. We have to handle this ammunition that's been stressed, and to get that in the weapon and fire it safely. And it's been done time after time after time. Man, hats off to all the guys involved in that. Our safety record has been pretty good with that. So
about 10 years ago, there was a test, an emergency test of the Paladin gun tubes over the Christmas time.
Yeah.
And he fired for something like 8,000 rounds in 2 weeks.
Tell you what, that was a lot. That was a lot. It took a lot out of the shop. It took a lot of from all the shops involved, you know, because we were firing around the clock. So to be able to take part in that and to get the results, the desired results, was very satisfying.
You've been here 31 years. You expect you're going to hang around a little bit longer?
You know, I have maybe 5 years and some change to retire. I don't know if I'll hang through maybe like 2 months. It depends on my wife, because she has at least 2 more years after I retire. But when I was younger and I'm in the heat every day, working hard every day, eating dirt, and I'm like, I can't wait to retire. I can't wait to get out of this. And as time went on and my body isn't going through all of that pain and suffering, you know, it's like maybe one more year longer than I thought I could. Maybe 2 more years. You never know, you know. But it takes a lot of work out of you. It's so physical. Like, I don't think people realize, say if you're shooting a 109 and you have 80 rounds that day and you're splitting that in half with another person, that you're going inside this weapon, in and out, in and out, and you're lifting and doing all of these things inside of that weapon all day, and you're shooting it all week. You know, it takes a lot out of a person to do that year after year after year.
Ernest Ballard, it's really good talking to you today.
That was good being here, Mark. Thank you for having me.
YPG Test Officer Jose Jaramillo Carvajal is a mechanical engineer who never dreamt he would make a living testing military vehicles until he was attending the University of Arizona. Since starting here in 2020, he has found the job exciting and challenging. Growing up in Yuma, had you heard much about Yuma Proving Ground?
It wasn't up until I was actually in college and I started looking into what my path was going to be in my career. And when I started seeing engineering, that's when I started looking around, like what were the opportunities that were going to be offered here in Yuma before I was considering to actually move out to other town. Yeah, once I was doing my gen eds here in AWC, I started looking around, and then most of the opportunities that I was seeing were actually offered here in YPG, and I started seeing like, oh, it's actually pretty big. And then some, just really few relatives or people that I knew around in town that would tell me, yeah, YPG, man, there's engineering opportunities if you get in there. I was actually going towards system engineering that's actually offered here full around on the Yuma campus. And then, but I decided to do mechanical engineering, which actually required me to move out into Tucson to main campus to complete the career, so which I did. It took me 2 years, and then there was a lot of jobs being offered out of there as well. But I still considered kind of like the YPG career first. So as soon as the position opened up, I applied right away, and then within 3 months, that's when I got hired here. Yeah.
Why'd you choose mechanical engineering?
So I'm actually a pretty hands-on guy. Ever since I was little, just being with my dad a lot, he was pretty much just really involved with automotive and just fixing our own cars and whatnot. So that was my thing. It was just being there with the mechanical stuff, you know. So that was pretty much, it was more on the tech side. And so, but once I started doing my general education, so I was like, you know what, I should try engineering or start looking into it. So mechanical engineering is pretty much just the design and developmental portion of what the mechanical is. And so that's what got me going. And so, yeah, once I started the actual design of how mechanical stuff are get created and why they get designed the way that they do, I was actually pretty glad that I got to see the the backside that most people don't see, you know, like why do engines get created that way, or why do transmissions function this way?
Testing tanks is quite a bit different than working on cars.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's way, it's a whole different concept, a whole different story. But the actual, the initiative or the starting phase, it's actually should be pretty similar. And it's funny how even hearing from other engineers in other industries, mainly on the automotive industries, all the phases of how a product gets from starting just from a designing presentation up to a full-on production test, it's really similar to how the tanks or the how the platforms get offered here for the Army, you know, and how they get their contracts and all that.
So your specialty so far has been a lot of testing with the M1 Abrams.
Yes, that's right. Yes. So yeah, it's mainly just the Abrams. So I got hired here on 2020. And so up till now, that's been the platform I've been mainly on. So it's a complex vehicle. I mean, all the vehicles here, it's just there's a lot of systems being integrated at once. So it's really complex. So it's a lot of things you have to look at. But seeing them, how they come in together and how they function and how they interact with each other, it's just really amazing how much it can be done.
Do you find your work meaningful for the soldiers?
For sure, yes. I mean, there has been some events where it's brought up from our customers that really it can really stand out of how important it is for them, because not just to them, but actual people on the fields. There has been events where we're testing here some items to fail, because that's what's being seen on the field. So when we're able to actually develop something that we can see the whole failure analysis of the of a specific item and how it's failing, once we provide that information, it really just opens the eyes and just really guides them through in the correct path of how it can be redesigned and how it can be just corrected, you know? And that's what really the main focus is whatever the people out on the field are seeing that they don't like, or people that's just really inhibiting from them to actually performing a task, and that gets passed down up to here, and then we get to actually do the correction, or at least try to find a correct path to do a correction. It's just really intriguing. It's just really involved, so it's nice. Yeah.
Do you expect you'll stay at YPG for a while?
For sure. Yes. I was kind of like the same story as many others, where it's like, it can be a good starting job. You know, it can be a good starting position or starting point. But there's a lot of stuff here that really just keep you attached. And so, yes, I think I want to say it's probably a long-term employment and a long-term story here. Yeah, definitely.
It's really good talking to you, Jose. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.